Alan Jackson is a country singer. Some of you are very familiar with him. Some of you are not. But he wrote a song entitled, "Where Were You?" Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Of course, that does refer to that day 10 years ago when those planes hit the World Trade Center towers, where the Pentagon was hit, where that plane was crashed in the rural countryside in Pennsylvania. Do you remember where you were when you received news of those events? I do. I was in Providence Hospital in the waiting room, waiting on one of our members. And I remember the scenes as they came on television, how everyone in that waiting room was just quiet as we tried to unfold the things that were happening before our eyes. Some events in human history impact us so greatly that we'll never forget where we were and what we were doing when those things happened. And I'm sure for those of us old enough to remember, those things that happened 10 years ago are such of those impactful historical events. The first verse of Alan Jackson's song goes, "Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Where were you, in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger, in fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry?" As we reflect upon those events, I want us to consider some things in light of those events, some things that we need to remember on this 10th anniversary. And I want to use some of the lyrics of Alan Jackson's song as he reflects on those events and asks, I believe, some good questions for us as we consider these events. One of the lines goes like this: "Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones and pray for the ones who don't know?" On September 11th, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the rural fields of Pennsylvania. Almost 3,000. It was the most devastating attack ever to happen on American soil, costing more lives than even the attack on Pearl Harbor. And we need to be careful not to forget the lives that were lost on that dreadful day and the families that continue to grieve their losses. Don't forget the widows who are raising children alone. Don't forget the parents who'll never be able to hold their children again. You see, compassion is an appropriate response to those things that happened 10 years ago today. Because compassion was something that characterized our Lord. Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus was concerned about the multitudes and the individuals, and he was moved with compassion. And that word refers to a feeling that comes from deep within us. And that's the same compassion that we as followers of Jesus should have, and the same depth of feeling. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, Paul says. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And let's be sure to put our compassion into action. Last week, most of you are here, some of you are out of town, so I want to remind you of something we're seeking to do this month. We're seeking to put our compassion into action through simple acts of kindness. Let me refresh your memories or tell you about what we're trying to do this month. It's Project Simple Kindness. And simply put, it's doing something simple but intentional. It's a display of God's love for all people that each of us can engage in. And we're encouraging every member of the Creekwood Church to engage in multiple acts of simple kindness this month. What better way to commemorate and show our compassion for those who were affected so tragically 10 years ago today? than to do some kindness for someone around us. But every time you engage in an act of simple kindness, we're asking you to leave a card, to take no personal glory, but to leave a card. And there are envelopes at the Welcome Center that have some of these cards in them. But they simply state, we hope this small act of kindness shows you God's love in a practical way. It has the church's address, phone number, website. We're also asking, when you do an act of kindness in a secretive way, giving God the glory, that you go online and to our website, where there's a page where only our members can access, to tell about your experience. Where were you? What did you do? And if you know what kind of reaction was given, tell us about it. We do this to encourage one another to be sensitive to the needs of those around us, to put our compassion into action by being kind to those in need. Because compassion is an appropriate response. Another line from Alan Jackson's song, did you burst out in pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? We need not forget, we need to remember the heroism shown by many ordinary people who responded in an extraordinary way. 343 New York City firefighters lost their lives trying to help those who were affected. 23 New York City police officers, 37 Port Authority officers lost their lives trying to help others. Those are truly heroes, aren't they? Who would risk their lives and even give their lives trying to help others in a time of need. We should thank God for those good Samaritans who did so. And remember that Jesus' message in the parable of the Good Samaritan is for us to be like that good Samaritan and like those heroes on 9/11. To go and do likewise. To take some risks in order to help those around us. Another line states, did you notice the sunset the first time in ages, or speak to some stranger on the street? You see, when tragedy strikes, so many times we become, it seems, more sensitive to our surroundings. And perhaps when that happened 10 years ago, or when tragedies enter our own lives, we become more sensitive to the blessings that God gives us, like those beautiful sunsets. That's something we need to remember and to practice, to be aware of our blessings and to count them and name them one by one. But also when tragedy strikes, we seem not only to be more aware of our surroundings and the blessings that we have, we seem to be more aware of people in our lives. Especially when lives are lost, we recognize how precious our relationships are. That's something we need to take away from us as we think about what happened 10 years ago, to recognize just how treasured our relationships are, and to continue to make it a priority that we build on those relationships. Alan Jackson sings, did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Ricky brought this to my attention last week as we were thinking about today. And he was citing some radio program that he had heard where the discussion was about the cell phone messages and the cell phone calls that were made on 9/11. And to whom do you think most of those messages and calls were made on that day? But to loved ones. And you see, when those difficult times come, it makes us think about our loved ones, doesn't it? We need to think about our loved ones all the time. And again, treasure those relationships. Did you just stay at home? Alan Jackson asks. and cling tight to your family and thank God that you had somebody to love. Pictured before you is Gabriel Clark, age 14, standing with his mother, LaShawn Clark Moore, near their home in Charlotte, North Carolina, holding a picture of her husband and his father, who died on September the 11th, 2001, as a result of the attack on the World Trade Center. And I'm sure on that occasion, those of us old enough to remember, we did hug our loved ones a little more tightly. And that's something we need to remember to do frequently. Alan Jackson sings, "Did you dust off that Bible at home?" Psalm 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." This picture is of a gentleman sitting in a church pew just a few days after those attacks. There are many who tell us that after the attacks, church attendance spiked for several weeks, as many were trying to cope with what happened on that day, rising in some places to as much as half the regular attendance, more in addition. Unfortunately, that attendance surge was short-lived, for levels were back to normal by November. George Barna, who does a lot of statistics related to religion, professed his amazement with this quote, "I was among those who fully expected to see an intense spiritual reaction to the terrorist attacks. The fact that we saw no lasting impact from the most significant act of war against our country on our own soil says something about the spiritual complacency of the American public." That's a sad commentary. May I ask us, have we dusted off our Bibles? Have we kept that commitment? Have we sought to draw nearer and nearer to God? Alan Jackson sings, Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? You see, when things like this happen, it causes us to reflect upon what's really, really important in our lives. Have you reflected lately about those important things? We need to be reminded, as we think about the events of 10 years ago and even life yesterday, we need to be reminded where to look for our strength. I want to turn your attention back to Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." There's where we need to find our refuge and our strength, in God and in Him alone. Our refuge and our strength, our security, is not derived from our nation's defenses, but it's derived from our faith in God. As believers, we need to remember that our feeling of security goes beyond the measures of homeland defense, beyond metal detectors, security checks, military power, political alliances, or the strength of our economy. Where our strength and our refuge lay are with God Himself. He is our refuge and strength. And David ends that great Psalm 46 by reminding us, when we're overwhelmed, where we need to turn. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Peggy shared something with me that she received from their daughter Jenny, in several pictures, and I want to share these pictures because pictures, they're like 1,000 words, aren't they? But it's something that I've gone online and researched and found it to be true. It's an amazing thing. It's about a mother duck and young ducklings. Joel Armstrong is a loan officer at Sterling Bank, and he works downtown in a second-story office building overlooking busy Riverside Avenue there in Spokane, Washington. One day he noticed, as he's looking out his window, a mother duck had selected the cement awning just outside his window, 10 feet from the ground, to build a nest for her young. And there were 10 eggs in that nest. And he would watch over the course of time until finally one Monday afternoon, those eggs hatched. And there were 10 little ducklings. Joel went home that night, but he didn't sleep well because he was concerned how that mama duck was going to get those baby ducks off their perch in a busy downtown urban environment to get them to water, which typically happens in the first 48 hours of a duck hatching. And the next morning, Joel came to work and he watched the mother duck encourage her babies to the edge of that perch with the intent to show them how to jump off. Well, she flew down to the sidewalk and began quacking loudly, encouraging her young ducklings to jump off. And Joel Armstrong watched in horror as one of them actually jumped and fell 10 feet and hit with a thud. Whereupon Joel ran outside just to see how this little duckling was doing, and it was staggering near its mother. Well, the mother duck kept quacking and wanting those other ducklings to come down, and Joel just couldn't stand it. He waited, and when one jumped, he went and caught it and then presented it to its mother. Until finally, all the rest of them had jumped and he had caught them, and they were safe by their mother. But he realized their journey had only begun. It was still several blocks to the nearest body of water, the Spokane River, there in Spokane, Washington. And he was thinking about how busy the streets were and the pedestrians that may not see them. And so the onlooking office secretaries joined in and they got an empty paper box. And with the mother duck's approval, he was able to gather those little ducklings into that box. And he started walking toward the Spokane River, where the mother duck could see her young. And he navigated through the downtown streets toward the Spokane River as the mother duck waddled behind and kept her babies in sight. And as they reached the river, the mother took over and passed Joel, jumped into the river, and started quacking loudly as if calling her ducklings to her. Whereupon they tipped the box onto its side so that the ducklings could get out. And all 10 ducklings safely made it into the water and paddled up snugly to Mama Duck. And the mother duck swam in circles, looking back toward the beaming bank workers as if to say, "We did it, but thank you for your help." By the way, this happened again in 2009, one year. You can go online if you care to and see a video of Joel catching those baby ducklings again. Actually, their younger brothers and sisters. But as you think about this and the amazement of it and the help that Joel and others were able to offer, I was reminded of some passages in the book of Psalms that contain the phrase, "under his wings." Here's one of those passages, Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Where is it that we find security? Where is it that we go for our refuge and for our strength? It's under His wings. Under His wings of protection. May I encourage us to remember that's the true source of our security. May we find refuge under His wings. I must close with one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture, because it carries along the same analogy, and this time as Jesus. And He's looking over Jerusalem. And He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing." You see, God is willing. He desires that we find refuge under His wings. But we have to make that choice. We have to submit our lives to become obedient to Him to find that refuge and strength. It may be this morning that you desire to find that refuge under the protection of God's wings. If you believe in Jesus and that He died for you on the cross so that you can have forgiveness of your sins, if you'll turn from those sins in repentance and confess the name of Jesus even before this assembly and be baptized, immersed into Christ, and your sins can be washed away, you can take refuge under His wings. And perhaps there's others of us that have not been seeking that refuge, have gone out on our own and realized there is no other place for refuge, and we need to come back home. Our hope and prayer is that you will make those steps. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, if you need to come back home, won't you come right now as we stand and sing.